Welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget that now you can also go to our Facebook, I'm not our Facebook page, I'm just making stuff up because it's too early in the morning. Yes, I know you're listening to it at 6:30, but it's actually really early and we haven't had coffee. But go to our regular webpage, which is www.nagb.org.bs. Go to the education title in the menu and then scroll down to Blank Canvas and you can listen to the archive shows. You'll see a picture. So after the show's aired, if you missed the beginning and you're like, oh, I wish I could have heard more John Cox, then you go there and you listen to the show.
Don't say that.
I know, right?
You want people to listen.
So we did hear from John Cox, the creative arts director of Bahamar, before the break. And now we're going to welcome Natasha Vasquez into the studio.
Thank you.
Hello, Natasha.
Hello.
Hi, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Creative arts program manager at Bahamar. So I'm familiar with you because you came to work at the NAGB for a while when you came back home. Why don't you tell the audience, because, you know, John, before the break, was speaking to the opportunities like for employment for young creatives. So you probably don't remember what was on the horizon 5 years ago in the Bahamas, but what was it like for you to, so tell the audience like where you studied and then coming home, and how's it been for you as like a young person to find this kind of employment here?
Great. Well, thank you for having me, first of all. I have been doing my MFA in painting at SCAD, the Savannah mm-hmm. College of Art and Design, and a part of the requirement for receiving this degree is doing 2 internships, and most students do these internships within the institution, within mm-hmm. SCAD. And I thought, you know, it's what's really important to me is to come back to this country and kind of, you know, become more integrated into the art community here, in the local art community, and meet people, because I've been away for 6 years. Mm-hmm. You know, I lived here my whole life up until high school, and I thought, wow, I've been learning so much and getting so involved, but I really, you know, would like to come back to the country where I grew up and sort of see what I can bring to the table, and also what I can learn from the existing community here. And so I started at the NAGB, which was an amazing experience.
Thank you.
Every second of it, and just met so many, you know, inspirational people and talented artists, and so through that I sort of felt more comfortable within the community here, within the art community, and met John Cox kind of also through that platform at the NAGB, and then started discussing my second internship option, and began that at Bahamar at the Current, and then that sort of transformed into a full-time job. And so it sort of all happened quite
That's
rapidly.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, I got extremely lucky. I got super lucky, yeah. And it's also an amazing opportunity to be a part of the team in such an early stage, right? Where mm-hmm. we're sort of creating the skeleton of what this thing is going to be, and getting involved in such a diversity of tasks and things, like, you know, from populating the hotels, the different hotels with art, to curating exhibitions and reaching out to artists in the community to set up things like residencies and exhibitions and workshops. So it's been
What is that, being the program manager? What does that mean? Just like packing the calendar full of stuff, basically? Is that your job?
Yeah. So right now I've started with sort of creating open calls. Mm-hmm. So the first one was a portfolio open call, which is more general, that was sent out to a plethora of artists here and art lovers. And it was also put in the Bahamian Arts and Culture e-magazine mm-hmm. And on our Instagram and Facebook. And so
the creative community should actually follow you on Instagram and Facebook.
Yes.
Because that's how they're going to get some of your news. I mean, we try to also support you, and we put your calls mm-hmm. out yeah. on our email too, but why don't you let everybody know what your Facebook page is?
Yeah, so it's just The Current Art Gallery and Studio, and then the Instagram is the.current.art. Mm-hmm. So you can follow us there and get all the updates mm-hmm. on there. And so these open calls, I kind of put them together with some submission guidelines as to how to submit a portfolio kind of in the way that, you know, shines the best light on your artwork mm-hmm. and also provides proper information like the title, the medium, the dimension, and the year.
So it's got like a little mini portfolio briefing on
exactly
how, you know, which again, you know, sometimes you wonder why they don't think they teach these things in school,
right? But, and I realized through that a lot of people actually did not know how to formulate
I can't tell you how many pictures I've gotten of a painting kind of on the floor of someone's studio,
right,
or like on the kitchen table, you know, and I'm like, I can't look at a work like that.
And
it's insulting to the work, let alone to me, you
exactly
know what I mean? You've got to set it up and light it properly and
right
give it a title and tell me the size. I get people sending me stuff, they don't even tell me what size it is.
And the medium is so important, right? It's like, yeah, we want to know what this thing
unless
is.
You've taken that picture on your bedroom floor, which also happens, and there's a shoe in the picture, then you get a sense of the scale.
Right.
But
unless it's part of the content, we want to see the work kind of just in its best light.
Yeah.
And so I actually even made a YouTube video tutorial, very informal, but of just me kind of going through the steps on how to create mm-hmm a proper portfolio. And it's really quite simple. Everyone thinks it's this really scary thing, but it's actually quite simple.
Yeah.
And so that's been very fulfilling. So I've been, you know, interacting and communicating with a lot of artists who have come back to me and been like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to do this. And then they come into my office sometimes and we go through it together and they send me these beautiful portfolios. And then the next day they say, oh, we submitted our work online to 3 different galleries, you know, outside of the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, again, speaking to what you were talking about mm-hmm earlier with like putting this work in dialogue with the rest of the world, mm-hmm, you know, and how important mm-hmm that is and how important it is to still conserve our culture and our identity, but also, you know, sit at the table with others and sort of speak the same language.
So I would really encourage people, to anyone listening who's a young artist, to go and look at that, you know, YouTube video on how to put a portfolio together.
Yeah.
And do that before you contact any art institution. You know, get your portfolio in, you know, in proper shape.
It's huge.
So that because it's huge, because again, it's also, you know, not only respectful to the work, but the people you're sending things to very often have a limited amount of time.
Yeah.
And if things aren't presented in a way that's clear and understandable, it's like you just, you know, you haven't got the energy to be like, oh, let me figure this out.
Yeah, because we get hundreds of submissions.
Hundreds and hundreds. So it needs to be, again, something that, you know, is clear and understandable. You know, so for the end user, it doesn't have to work too hard to try to understand, well, you know, what you're doing in your studio.
Right, and your work deserves that, and you deserve that.
Well, that's what I mean. Again, it's respectful to the art and
to
yourself. Exactly.
So another huge part of my job is also creating scheduling for exhibitions that mm-hmm we may be having. So within the current studio and gallery, we're going to be having more commercial type exhibitions with work for sale, probably every 6 weeks, changing between group shows and solo shows of Bahamian artists.
Which is going to be such an amazing opportunity for Bahamian artists.
I mean, not commercial only platform, right?
Commercial platform, which we need desperately, because again, I think a lot of the reason people want to show at the NAGB isn't actually, you know, because of the institute. It's because they think it's the only way they're going to get the general public to see their work and then sell it.
Right.
But again, you know, we're not a selling institution. That's not what we do.
Right.
You know, we're education only, and it's so important for our country to have a proper commercial platform.
Yeah. And it's so unique that this gallery sits on top of this mega $1 billion resort where there are hundreds and thousands of people that are going to be coming through every single day, not just our local Bahamian community, but also foreigners that are going to come and see the work. And
and you know, people come to the NAGB and sometimes they're surprised. We don't sell work because gallery, right? And they're like, oh, where can I go? And then I'm like, okay. And I get the map out. I'm like, so Dungalook's down here. You got to get this bus and then you can stop off here. And Nassau Glass, maybe we'll have a few things. And you got to send them on this kind of a paper chase almost.
Yeah.
And which isn't always, you know, the easiest to access or the easiest to find. And a lot of artists here don't have studios, so you can't even send them to studios to see. You can't say, oh, we'll call this artist. He'll be in his studio from, you know, 8 to 4 because he's probably at his job from 8 to 4 and he's in his studio at night, which is really his garage or his kitchen, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like really not easy to assist people that come here who want to buy work.
That's right.
It's not always the easiest. So it would be very easy to say, well, go to Dungalook and you know, and then come back downtown, get on the 10 and go out to Bahama.
Right.
And, you know, go to the current.
Yeah. And so we're also hosting a residency program for artists. Mm-hmm. Right now it's only local artists, but we soon hope to outreach and invite international artists as well. Basically where artists will have the opportunity to use the space, the studio space, to create work, and also, you know, gain exposure through using this public space.
Mm-hmm. So the studios are public in the sense that people visiting the hotel will be able to watch them working?
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So which is already in of itself a unique experience. I've never been to a hotel where you can engage with an artist in their creative space.
Yeah.
And I think that's so overseen sometimes that, you know, oftentimes you see the finished show and the gallery and hanging on the wall and it looks very pristine. But what about behind the scenes and what happens within the studio and kind of the heart and soul of the artist, you know, putting that into the work? I find that to be such an interesting
part of it. Absolutely.
And
then I also think that people might understand more that it's actually a job and it's not. I think we still have this idea, you know, not only in the Bahamas, but everywhere in the world, that like artists are just doing it because it's fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a real intensity to an artistic practice, and there has to be a level of commitment and a level of engagement that is, you know, like doing any job, and people just don't really understand that.
Absolutely.
And the thought process that goes into it and the work that goes into it and, you know, physical work as well, like hard physical labor.
Absolutely.
Like building your own canvases and all these kinds of things, you know, and this idea that it's kind of like it's like playtime.
Yeah.
And is something we need to really make people understand. So I think it's kind of great that you're going to have a window into really the kind of artistic practice, so people can see the artist really at work.
Absolutely.
You know?
And it's a great opportunity for the artist, because a lot of people have told me, oh, I just don't have the space.
Right.
So I'm creating these small works. And it's like, but this work, you should try it big, but there's no space.
Yeah.
And so we're kind of providing that,
which
that
is
space
amazing.
For the artist.
No, it's really important, because again, you know, I had one artist say to me, I can't remember who it was, it might have actually even been Tavara Strawn, but we were talking about scale and the scale of artwork. And, you know, if you have a small space to work in, you know, you're going to have small ideas.
That's right.
Or you're going to have ideas that fit that space. And they've even done some research now in architecture that, in fact, you know, they find that it's better in creative spaces to have really high ceilings.
Mm.
And it's just this, again, it's kind of like a metaphorical thing. Like, you need that space for your ideas.
Vastness.
To kind of, you know, swim around. And, you know, if you're in
true.
A little tiny pokey space, it's hard to have, like, big ideas.
Right.
And so I think it does reflect, you know, we live on a small island and many people here have big ideas, but there isn't a lot of big spaces around there to go and make that happen. I remember for some of the NEs, when John, you were still chief curator at the NEGB, you know, we were trying to give people studio space, like Kendall Hanna when he made that piece, which now is hanging in the Bahamar Casino.
Right.
And I'm so happy to see it, because Kendall Hanna, we gave him this massive studio for a show at NEGB, and he made this huge artwork, which was great in the ballroom. And then, of course, nobody could buy it because it was too big.
Right.
But now it's hanging.
Right.
In the Bahamar Casino. And when I went on the tour, I was like, oh, it's so great. So
I
it's
love
just,
that piece.
It's kind of, you know, I love that piece too. So it's a great thing that you're doing. And have you got people in residency now?
Yes. Yeah, so we have an artist. Her name is Carrie China.
Mm-hmm.
And she has been, she hasn't quite started. She's brought her materials in place. And so she'll be starting probably sometime next week after the meet and greet.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have an artist, Janine Walker, who's on board, and also Susan Lightborn, so Sue Katz as well, who's going to be making some artwork for an upcoming exhibition that we're having. So it's kind of nice to talk about the story in that way, right? Like an artist coming to our space at the Current to create work that will then sort of live on the walls at Bahamar.
And how did you select those three? I mean, it's interesting they're three women, because everyone's always complaining there's not enough women artists.
Yeah.
Right.
We actually have another, I was going to say, there's another, so just to jump in, so we kind of trying to develop kind of a slogan in a way to support the Current, and it's kind of celebrating the process, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so looking at the inside, looking into the process is kind of like this honesty kind of thing. But the residency component offers the public to look into it, be taught, exchange, whatever. But we also have a component of the residency that's all about retail, that's all about making things for the shop.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this kind of like merchandisable kind of component to it. And we're thinking, we've been in dialogue with Kayshel Knowles about that. So we have all women.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
In there in the beginning. Right.
Love Kayshel. I've got some of her work. And she made those awesome stickers for the NEGB shop too. We're going to have to watch out from you guys. You can take all our people, but that's okay, because, you know, no one comes. No one can be bothered to walk from the cruise ship up the hill anyhow. So we just send them over in buses.
We will bus them
from
Bahamar
them.
To you. So they'll come from there.
Exactly. That should be a huge part of our program.
No,
it's something, as I said, you know, John and I were because John was at NEGB when Bahamar was, you know, being so, you know, and he left us to go there, which was awesome. For him and for us, I think. I mean, a lot of people looked at it negatively, and I was like, this is great. You know, I've got a compadre over there.
Yeah.
And a lot of the conversations we were having then was building up Bahamian branding for the visitor and understanding the Bahamian experience. And part of that is getting them off the campus. And that's something I admire about Bahamar, is that they're, you know, again, yes, they want people to stay there and eat in their restaurants and go to their beach and buy cocktails there. because, of course, that's how they're going to be able to stay in business. But at the same time, they acknowledge that part of the Bahamian experience is getting off the campus. So I think we will
I know that connection has already been met with a positive response by people I've discussed.
Exactly.
Getting people to NAGB
definitely,
regularly.
Definitely busing people in at NAGB will be part of the project. So we're going to go to a short break and come back to speak more specifically about things you have upcoming, very soon in the next couple of days and the coming months at Bahamar, opportunities for artists and visitors alike. Stay tuned in to The Blank Canvas, and you will hear all about that after the break. You are listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm speaking with John Cox and Natasha Vasquez from the Bahamar Art Program from The Current. You are listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio, and we're going to be right back after this break.